me to Bhaktivedanta Nana, the holy Dham. I don't know many of you, some of you I know, and you probably don't know me so well. Some of you might know me. I don't know. So I thought we were going to read from a verse today, but it doesn't matter, no worries. We are going to be discussing about Lord Balaram. So there's lots of interesting topics. But first, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah, generally we would read from Srila Prabhupada's books. So, anyway, fortunately I have one part of the class I was going to give which includes one purport. So, we can do that later. So, regarding Lord Balaram and all the aspects of tattva, you could class it in various ways, but we can say there's the technical stuff. Chaturvyuha, the four arms, the guards. Chatur means four, vyahu means arms or guards. So that's one topic we could discuss. Another topic we could discuss is the science of his expansions. Because if Lord Balaram actually did create the world and Krishna created the world, there must be evidence of this. And we cannot just go by faith. Faith is okay. In fact, the Uttama has a lot of faith, Madhyam less, and the Kanishtha even less. But the Uttama, he knows everything of Krishna's creation. He has faith and he has knowledge, isn't it? So as we progress in our devotional life, we must have faith and knowledge. There's no point in saying this, just chant Hare Krishna and everything will go away. It's true to some extent. I was having one discussion with one devotee yesterday about the origins of the jiva. And I don't know if he's hearing.
It's a good discussion. And the point is that we must understand these topics. We can't just chant Hare Krishna.
Because when we chant Hare Krishna, people say to us, who are you? What are you doing? What do you stand for? And so you have to have all the answers. And all our acharyas have all the answers to all the topics that anyone could ever bring up. Isn't it? Yes? Is there anything in the Hare Krishna movement that anyone could ask us and we couldn't give an answer for? I don't think there's anything. This is the amazing thing about the Hare Krishna movement, which struck me when I first came in touch with it around about 1978. Because Krishna's, he works in various ways. The person who told me about Krishna, he was not an ashram devotee. He lived outside. And, wow, that's really bright. He lived outside. Actually, he even smoked marijuana regularly. But he had the rule that he would only smoke marijuana after 12 o'clock. So at least he had some standards. But he's a very nice person. Actually, he comes to the temple occasionally, although I'm not sure if he's still with us on this plane. Anyway, he had a lot of faith in Prabhupada. So he instructed me about Krishna, and he had a lot of answers, actually. He had all the answers that I ever wanted, and he gave me the books. Not only did he give me the books, but he gave me the tape recorder, and he gave me tapes So this is how, he was a better preacher than I am. I mean, he's a very sincere person. Actually, there's another devotee called Ankota Prabhu. Some of you may know him. He came from the same town I was in, Leamington Spa. And he also made Ankota a devotee as well. So just goes to show you, some congregation member outside who's not even following very strictly, but he has some faith. He preaches, and some people catch on. So that's the importance. This is Guru Tattva. This is, actually, let me get back to this point. Because there's different topics we're going to be looking at today. One is the technical stuff, one is the science. We must know the science of how Krishna is everywhere. And Guru Tattva is another matter, because Lord Balaram, he's involved in Guru Tattva. To go to Krishna, you have to go through Lord Balaram, Nityananda, or Sri Guru. You cannot approach Krishna directly. So it is a very important point. And there is some of our acharyas that say in the higher rasa, when you become more advanced, then if your rasa is madhurya rasa, then what happens is that Lord Balaram passes you over to Srimati Radharani's group. So first you get trained up, and then you get passed to, like that. Sometimes Srimati Radharani's group likes a particular bhakta who may be in Sakiras, and she might say, I want that servant for myself. So this is an example of Shamananda. You know the story of Shamananda. His ras changed in that sense, that he became, by association of Srimati Radharani's girlfriends, he also became attracted to such ras. So that's another matter. So many different tattvas, so many different discussions can be there. Do we have fixed ras? Can we change ras? All these kind of topics are there. So, Guru Tattva is very important. We can discuss some Leela pastimes. And also, we can discuss Lord Balaram's particular relationship. What is his ras? Because he is in Sakiras, Dasiras. And he also, by association of Mother Yashoda, because there are times when Mother Yashoda wants Lord Balaram to take responsibility for Krishna, so she empowers him, and he takes on the Vatsalya Ras as well, because yes, he's Krishna's older brother, he has to take care of him. So also Nityananda and Balaram, we have to talk about Nityananda and Balaram. There's one verse for Jendra Nandanaje, Satchisuta Hoyla, say, Balaram Hoyla Nitai, Dinahina Jato Chilo, Harinama Udivilo, Tara Shakshi Jagai Marai. So, for Jendra Nandanaje, Satchisuta Hoyla, say, the Prince of Raj, he has become Krishna, and Balaram Hoyla Nitai, Lord Balaram has become Lord Nityananda. As if we want to understand Balaram, really, we should study Lord Balaram, because we are in this particular age, and Balaram is revealed to us in the mood of Lord Nityananda. Now, another topic we can discuss, if you have time for all this, by the way, is the origins of the jiva, because that's a very important point, because where do we come from? Isn't it? Where did we come from? Huh? What did he say? What did he say?
Mother's womb.
Oh, mother's womb. But that's one platform. You're talking about the classical platform. There's the classical world, there's the quantum world, there's the ethereal world, and then from there, there's a spiritual world. So, on the classical plane, you come from your mother's womb. But how many, which womb? How many mothers, how many wombs have you been in? That's another thing. So, that's that kind of, we can also discuss these things. So, regarding the matter of our origins and where we come from and why we are the way we are, because people say, "Well, why are you in the material world? Why has God put you in the material world?" You know, like this. So it's a question of perhaps it's a question of love, attraction, and free will. For instance, when your father begat you and your mother took you out of the womb, it's up to you whether you love your father or not. It's, you have free will. Your father cannot control you. You have to develop your love for your father. And of course, the Supreme Father, Krishna. One may say, "Well, I like my father, but he has this problem, this issue, and that issue. I quite like him, but I see faults in him." But actually, even Rupa Goswami says, even if you have faults, love can be such that you can overlook such faults. But there are some issues where that need to be ironed out in certain relationships. We're talking about Krishna. Krishna himself, we understand from the scriptures, perfect personality. Therefore, it's a question of us trying to understand him and trying to love him and becoming attracted to him. So this is something, this is free will. It's our choice. Therefore, in the scriptures it says there's tatashta, the tatashta. We are tatashta. Whether you're in the spiritual world or in this world, you remain tatashta. You remain marginal. Even if you're in the spiritual world, Prabhupada says in Goloka Vrindavan. Because one time someone asked Prabhupada, if you in the spiritual world, can you fall down? Can you come back to this world? And Prabhupada, it is possible because of your free will. But generally, if you love someone very deeply and you're very attracted to them, I don't think you'd want to leave their association. So in our line, we hear about Krishna from sadhus who have such attraction for Krishna. They have that love. And where are they getting that love from? Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute that love. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, there was some understanding of Krishna, of course. But the revelation of the mood of Srimati Radharani, which, and all the resonance of Raj, which Mahaprabhu brought to this plane, previously it was not understood. And therefore, when it comes to studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the aspects of the Bhagavatam, we do that through the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Now we can talk about this later, Shiksha, Diksha, the importance of Shiksha Gurus. And in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Rupa, on Raghunath Das's Mana Shiksha, he clearly says that we must consider these Goswamis and prominent devotees our very own Shiksha Gurus. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur, he has said in his songs, if you want to understand the Krishna in a very intimate way in all aspects, you must study the books. Narottam Das Thakur said, you must study the books of Rupa Goswami. So we should not limit, and this is Balaram Tattva, you should not limit your understanding of gurus. Guru just doesn't mean one guru. It means your Diksha Guru and so many Shiksha Gurus. And Shiksha in time and space make no difference. When you sing the songs Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the right spirit, then you are in touch with such acharyas and all the truths. So this is how we advance in our spiritual life, by associating with such exalted personalities who actually possess. And it actually only takes one moment of association of such a sadhu. Therefore, sadhu sangha sava shastra hoy. Lava matra sadhu sangha sava siddhi hoy. Just one moment association of such a sadhu is enough, because he is giving you a taste of his association, and you think, wow, what is such love he has, such spiritual energy that person has. And many people who met Srila Prabhupada, they have such experiences, and also in your own Guru Maharaj's lives, I'm sure you may feel such shakti, such energy. That energy actually is coming from Lord Balaram. So Balaram Tattva, Guru Tattva, means he gives you strength. It is Lord Balaram who is giving you strength and energy, because the material energy is so difficult to overcome. Devi Ishugunamayama Mamaya Duratya Mamaya Vipajante. Isn't it? Who has overcome the material energy here in all its forms? Gross and subtle, especially subtle forms, is very, very difficult to absorb the mind in yoga on Krishna. So Balaram and Sri Guru, they are absorbed in that way on the lila pastimes of Krishna, externally and internally. Therefore, in our line, we follow Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis, we are following them. But also, that is the, on another plane, we are following, this is discussed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj. On another plane, as we advance in our devotional life, then we understand Rupa Goswami's position as Rupa Manjari, and his services and all the services of all his associates to Radha Krishna. And the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This Rama Rama, this is Lord Balaram, and Balaram gives the strength. He's giving us the strength to overcome the material mind, and then the mind can be fixed on Krishna. And that is not a very easy position to stay fixed in. But fortunately, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you could say Jagat Guru, the saving the entire world, because he followed Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj, and he followed Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in their divine vision of how to bring Krishna consciousness to the West. So you can see internal and external activities become one, because we cannot necessarily at this stage of our lives just be absorbed in Radha Krishna Nitya Lila. Or we should try, we should go for that by practice. But we have so many activities that Prabhupada has given us to carry out. So in carrying out them activities, automatically, irresistibly, actually, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers used to say, irresistibly, this other higher truths will appear in the heart. So the qualifications for rising to such absorption is that we must absorb ourselves in the mission of His divine grace. This is going on. But the mission of divine grace is not limited. Sometimes we might think we're very successful here because we have Bhaktivedanta Mala, we have this Haveli, and we have so many things going on. And yes, it's true, it's nice. But Prabhupada's, that is just one small part of Prabhupada's mission. We should remember that. It's just one small part. It's nice, but it's like a one grain compared to a mountain of what Prabhupada wanted to do. So there's unlimited ways by which Krishna consciousness can be spread in every field. And in one purport, Prabhupada says, through sociology, through politics, through economics, through so many ways, philosophy, religion, all these different ways we can approach Krishna consciousness and try to enliven the public. For instance, if I said to you, what is the Vedic view of economics? Are we into free market economy or are we into a controlled economy? What is the fair interest rate set in Vedic economics? Things like that we should understand and we should be able to give a view on. Because currently, living in the material world, the economics of the world are structured in such a way that they appear to be questionable, to say the least. So the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada clearly says, must enter into all these fields and give answers. So, free will, attraction to Krishna, we have to learn to love Krishna. And if we do so, our independence, our God-given independence of love, Krishna has given this independence to us, and we will place it in the right area of serving Krishna. So, let me just get into some of these other topics now. Regarding the origins of the jiva, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses these things in the Jiva Dharma to some extent, and different acharyas give different opinions as to where the what the origins of the jiva are. Prabhupada said, "Go back home, back to Godhead," didn't he? So, going back home, back to Godhead, Krishna is in so many different places. So going back home, back to Godhead, may not necessarily mean that you were in Goloka Vrindavan. It could mean that, for instance, your origins were from Mahavishnu, because he expanded himself into the jivas. This is what one of the services of Lord Balaram is. Because Krishna himself directly does not expand himself into unlimited jivas. It is actually done through Lord Balaram. So, the origin of the jiva is from Mahavishnu, in one of his Mahavishnu form. So, when you say go back home, after a period of time in the material world, if you have not perfected your life, you go back inside Vishnu, right? He takes everything back inside of him again. And then again, he creates. So, you're going back to Krishna in his form as Mahavishnu. So that's like going back, because Godhead is so many things. So, in that sense, although we are conditioned souls, we are placed inside a spiritual personality who is like Shuddhashattva, who is pure. And just like, for instance, when Balaram, he was the seventh son of Devaki, wasn't he? So previously to that, there was other sons born of Devaki. Devaki was a very pure personality. She was on the Shuddhashattva platform. So you could say, why is it that these souls, before Lord Balaram, six children came, they were not pure. But they came inside the womb of Devaki. So similarly, one could wonder that the impure conditioned souls who are totally materially covered, they go inside Krishna. So that's just one point. So going back home or going back to Krishna may not necessarily mean going back to Goloka Vrindavan. It could mean going back into Mahavishnu, the origins of the jiva, because when the creation takes place, the jiva is giving an opportunity as to how he can express his free will. And if he expresses his free will through the material energy, he stays in the material energy. And finally speaking, Prabhupada says, you've heard, eternally conditioned souls. You heard that expression? Eternally conditioned souls. What does he mean by that, eternally conditioned souls? Well, if we want to, we can remain in the material energy for eternity. And that is up to us. That is our free will. It is in our interest to love Krishna and to find that the source that can satisfy our every need. And Krishna provides that. But we have to appreciate Krishna. We have to learn to love him and his ways and his qualities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur touches on these matters. And this is one of the services of Lord Balaram. Because Lord Balaram, he is the great servant of Krishna. This is his mood. Although Krishna has become, because from Krishna comes Balaram. And people say, what is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? And some people say, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram except for his color, right? So this discussion was there at the Kumbh Mela festival once in the 1970s. And Mother Jamuna, she was having a discussion with Madhudwisha Swami. And they were having quite a heated debate on whether Krishna was different or whether he was practically the same except for his color. So this heated debate was going on, and His Holiness Tamo Krishna Maharaj intervened, and he said, I will go and ask Srila Prabhupada what the truth is of this matter. Anyone say, was Jamuna right, or was Madhudwisha Swami correct? So you may want to think, wonder what Prabhupada said. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada, there's this heated debate going on between Mother Jamuna and Madhudwisha Swami, so we want you to resolve it. He said, Prabhupada, Madhudwisha Swami is saying that there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram apart from his color. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, this is correct. And then he said, but Mother Jamuna is saying there's a difference because Krishna dances with the gopis and Balaram does not dance with Krishna's gopis. So and Prabhupada said, yes, yes, she is correct. So then Tamal Krishna said, well, you know, Prabhupada, you said both are correct. And then Prabhupada said to him, yeah, you decide. So, actually one could say that Mother Jamuna was full of rasa. She had that spontaneous spirit of love. Did anyone know, who has seen Mother Jamuna here? Out of you, raise your hands if you personally see very few, right? You saw Mother Jamuna? So she was a wonderful personality, full of bliss and love. And you can understand all these early devotees, they dedicated their lives in very early age, in their teens and 20s. They just surrendered everything. So therefore, they were very blissful. So, yeah, such souls are wonderful examples to us. And if you've ever been with Mother Jamuna, then you'll see her, that is her quality. So let me just get into a little technical stuff here so we can understand what is the Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha is four. The Vyuha means the guard of the arms. So, where should we go now? Yeah. So one has to enter into the domain of Krishna. And in order to enter into this domain of Krishna, because we were saying how Balaram has created all this facility. First of all, the jiva is impregnated in Maya by the glance of Vishnu. Now he's in this situation and he is under the false impression that he is the Vishaya. Vishaya Ashraya. He thinks he's the Vishaya. He thinks he's the enjoyer. And so Krishna said, yeah, you want to enjoy? Okay, I will give you all this facility to enjoy. And all these arrangements that you see around you are such arrangements on the subtle and the gross plane. So we find ourselves, and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Vishaya Vanivatane Niharashadehara If you want to get out of this, you have to experience higher taste. So first, the jiva is placed inside this chaturvyuha arrangement, which we'll get into in a second about what that arrangement is. And then he becomes implicated in his activities by, you could say on a scientific plane, well, you could use the word karmic synchronicity. Synchronicity, you know, is like certain events take place in your life. Some people think, this is happening, that's happening. Why is that happening like this? And it's like karma, synchronicity. It's something that beyond our control. In our life, we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but certain events take place in our life. This is called karmic synchronicity. And according to the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a science. It's a great science of how your, Prabhupada says, your subtle influences. Because this Chaturvyuha is making so many arrangements, and these arrangements are waiting to take place according to you triggering them. So there's, in quantum physics, they have this idea of many possibilities. There's the many possibilities. So if you look at what you need, what elements do you need if you want, if you have a certain amount of desires, then it must be enacted on the classical plane, because your mind is the ethereal plane. You're thinking, thinking, thinking. We are interacting in so many different ways with so many living beings and cultivating so many desires. These desires are automatically being programmed and connected to another plane of existence. And therefore, if you look at the scientific aspect of quantum physics, you see the great mystery of the two slits experiment, whereas if you look at something, it has an effect, and if you look away, another effect takes place. This is to do with light particles and wave particles. But at the same time, it gives the hint of the idea that mind and consciousness affect matter. And this is what the modern scientists say, and is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that our minds, what we do, what we say, what we think, how we interact, and all the desires we cultivate in this material world for happiness, wife, bank balance, house, how we deal with everyone, all this kind of stuff, it is programming, is causing matter to program itself in certain ways automatically, such as the power of the science of God. God is so powerful that he set up such a system that whatever you think, whatever you do, whatever you want is automatically being programmed somewhere. Storage information, data, data analysis is taking place by the super soul, and this information is being stored by him, and in future time, this is going on. So it's not too incomprehensible today to understand that point like that, isn't it? Do you agree? Because today, if we'd spoken about this 100 years ago, people would think you're crazy. Well, we can see today how data analysis is going on. Lots of information stored and later used for various purposes. So this Chaturvyuha, these are the four expansions of the Lord. First, the Lord expands in the spiritual plane, the original expansion, you could say. He expands into Lord Balaram, and then Lord Balaram, he expands again into the four Chaturvyuha. So these first four expansions are existing in the spiritual realm. They are the 24 guardians, forms of Lord Vishnu, which preside over the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world, beginning from the east, the west, and all the directions. So this is Lord Balaram. He's manifesting himself. He's expanding himself as Vasudev, Mula, Shankarsham, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. And they're taking the positions in the spiritual world, and they are maintaining Krishna's existence. Because they have the Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. So the Sandini energy of the Lord in form of Balaram is maintaining the whole spiritual kingdom. And there's a need for and further expansion, because the jiva wants to have an existence outside of Krishna. Therefore, the second expansion takes place. And again, their functions are from Vasudev, Sankarsham, Prajuna, and Aruda. Their functions are there, and let me tell you what them functions are. Vasudev, the first expansion, he's the presiding deity of consciousness, and he's the cause of the Brahman effulgence. So this consciousness, this inner knowledge, this awareness, this free will capacity, This is coming from Vasudev. So the jiva, he is wandering, Brahmananda, Brahmaja, Kona Bhagavan Ji, Guru, Krishna, Shai, Bhakti, Bhattalat, Beach. He's wandering all over the universes, like we were saying before, with his karmic synchronicity. He's trying to find pleasure here, there, and everywhere. So this is the nature of the jiva. So Krishna, in the form of Shankarshan, because Vasudeva is consciousness, and Shankarshan, he's the presiding deity of false ego. I, me, mine. Janeshvara Shutashvied Havanavanamtam. Navyet Adihottam Va Tamsakinchana Gocharam. One who has interest in this material world through higher birth, through prestige, through education, through money, through wealth, through all these things. They cannot sincerely approach Krishna because they have another agenda. So this other agenda, apart from serving Krishna in the spiritual realm, is coming about through this false ego, which comes from Lord Shankarshan. And Pradyumna, he comes from Shankarshan, and he is presiding deity of intelligence. Because every living entity has so much intelligence. Even if you look in the material world, there are so much types of intelligence. Look at the salmon, for instance. They're taking birth in some river, and they're going off into the ocean. Then somehow or other, they're finding their way back to the river where they first spawned. So one wonders, how is this going on? Or the migrating birds, and so many examples of intelligence is there. In all species of life, the weaver bird who makes a wonderful nest, very compact, how is all this intelligence going on? No one has any answer. But Bhagavatam has the answers, coming from Vrajuna. Krishna is giving that intelligence. Any intelligence we need, Krishna gives us. And look at Einstein and the intelligence he has. And one may wonder about the different intelligence of a living entity, where it comes from. And in some circles, like for instance the Nazis, they had the idea, and also some of the smarter Brahmins have the idea, that genetics, you have to just keep breeding properly and then more and more intelligence will come. Isn't there? There's a name for it. What do they call that? Something genetics, where it's kind of considered to be not a sort of nice pearl. I can't remember what it's called now. But we see in our life, what's it called?
Eugenics.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's considered, some people really believe in that, that if you... And actually there is, to some extent, some truth in that, you could say. But not entirely, because from a very, very intelligent couple can come someone who, a soul, enters into that world who doesn't have that same intelligence for some reason. And from a simple family of sweepers or whoever they might be, simple life, comes a very intelligent child. So how's this going on? This is because this is another, because of Pradyumna. He's giving the intelligence, and for some reason or another, a certain child is born in a certain family for certain karmic reasons, but is super intelligent. And someone born of nuclear physicists, both parents are nuclear physicists, not necessarily that they will become as sharp themselves. because every individual has his own karmic condition. And then Aniruddha, from Pradyumna comes Aniruddha, and he's the presiding deity of the mind. So the mind is the best friend or worst enemy. So we must pray to Aniruddha to have a controlled mind. Krishna says you make your mind your best friend in that way. And Prabhupada says that actually Vrindavan is a state of mind. It's true. So Prabhupada says, the Lord in his different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Prajuna, Shankarsha, maintain both the gross and subtle material elements of this world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the gross material elements are earth, water, air, fire, and ether. The subtle material elements are mind, intelligence, and ego. All of them are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sankarsham, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Lord Krishna, by his quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarsham, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. So Balaram, in his various expansions, are creating and organizing matter in all its various forms, both subtle and gross. He, for instance, one part in Prabhupada is mentioning gravity. Lord Balaram, you've heard, Lord Balaram is gravity, isn't he? Gravitational force. This gravitational force is a great mystery to many people because it causes planets to enter, according to the scientists, isn't it? It's so strong, the planet, that it brings other planets, isn't it? They say like that. The sun's orbit, all these things. Yet, if we have one simple magnet, we can place it above something and the magnetic force overcomes gravitation. So this is a great mystery to some scientists today, why gravity is so weak in some parts but so strong in other parts. They don't understand why it is. There's many things they don't understand, yet they all give big classes and convince everyone they actually know, when the truth is they don't. So the intelligent design of the universe with all its information technology, DNA, and so on and so forth, and how each individual desire and action of an individual are connected to the ethereal plane and transformed perhaps to the smaller particles of quarks and then to the atomic realm and then to the classical world before us. These are all the arrangements of Krishna, because we have to explain how it is Krishna is making the world go the way it does and how people are connected to it. So the material scientists come out with these theories, and generally you'll find that all these theories they come up with and observations are connected ultimately to the Bhagavatam and its explanation. So, yeah, like that. So, if science thinks logically and intelligently about things in the material world, and if we think intelligently and logically, and if we think there is the Lord, and he is the personality who is arranging everything, then he must leave his traits. He must leave evidence of himself somewhere. We must be able to look at that in an intelligent way and think, yes, this is a sign of intelligence here. And this is the way to, for us perhaps on some level of preaching, to convince people of the existence of God. So, so one would expect to see Krishna in things. So if we can study these things for a second, we can try to understand. Some PhD scientific members think this is exactly what is seen. That it's not that all the scientists are atheistic persons. There's a number of them who generally come from Christian backgrounds, but nevertheless, they are very clever and very devoted to divinity in their way. And they study chemistry, physics, biology, and they look for this evidence of Krishna being in the creation. And they see it clearly and then they explain it to us. So this is very useful for us in our preaching. So there's a few of them. One is called, his name is Professor James Torr. He's one of the top leading chemists in the world. There's another gentleman called Michael Behe. He studies biological systems. And there's a number of them in that way. And through their studies, they give analysis of the material world. There's one gentleman that wrote a book called The Myth of Junk DNA, for instance, because in the body there's so much DNA is there, and they were thinking in the early stages that this DNA, there's lots of junk, it doesn't have any purpose, therefore this must be some kind of cause for mutations, and mutations is what causes speciation, and therefore there's no God. All these different species of life just came about simply by mutations. But the mutation process is something that is flawed. You cannot accurately produce living entities simply by mutations, because the genomes and the DNA and the RNA that cause the proteins in every single one of our cells, each cell has 100 of these little machines running around it. These are produced in a very precise way, and just one little miscalculation in producing the protein machine causes the protein machine to default and become destroyed. So it's not that, it's like, for instance, if you have a bike lock has four. Right? You're trying to lock up, it's got so many combinations in it. So if you take that bike lock to maybe 10 circles of numbers, and then to 20 circles of numbers, and then to 30 or 40 circles of numbers, you get to some magnificently high numbers, 10 to the power of 72, that's 72 zeros. This is mutation mathematics. So when Lord Balaram and Krishna create this material world, everything is done in precision. It's precise, because to create a certain type of body with a certain type of karma, which leads to a certain pattern in time of that person's existence, everything has to be in place. So your body breaks down in certain ways. They haven't even discussed the subtle planes, how that operates. That's another matter, how the mind develops, how the intelligence develops, and how that might break down or come about. But the gross body is there. So, for instance, if we say to you that if I gave you 100 monkeys for 100 years, typing on 100 typewriters, do you think it would ever, what would be the result? Do you think an accurate letter would come about? Yeah, you've got 100 monkeys typing for 100 years and 100 typewriters. What would be the result? Because they have the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, there's 28. How many letters now? 28, isn't it? 28 letters in the alphabet. Huh? 26. 26, right. 26 letters in the, and so, okay, that's pretty good number. So how much time will it take these monkeys to produce a letter? This is, you see, Balaram doesn't work like that. Krishna doesn't work like that. He works in precision. Like you write an essay, you don't just type anything. You have a coded information for each word and what it says. So they'll say, well, okay, maybe let's take 1,000 monkeys for 1,000 years with 1,000 typewriters. Maybe that'll solve the problem. And then they might say, for 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000 monkeys on 1,000,000 typewriters, what will they produce? And this is how they speculate. But this is called mutation mathematics. But if you look at the number 72, 1 to the power of 72 with 72 zeros, that's a lot of. So the basic, the point is that in your body, all these calculations are going on automatically, and machines are being built very precisely in terms of protein machines and so on and so forth. And that's what causes the cell and so on and so forth. Now, not only that, but Krishna also, even chemicals. You ask a synthetic chemist to produce a series, a chemical combination that works and unites perfectly. It's not so easy to do. Not so easy to do. You can't just take any chemicals and mix them together, because what will be the result is, I mean, if anyone's done chemistry here, if you put two certain acids together, you get this massive explosion and all this. So to get all these chemicals to combine, to produce the body in the first place, it takes codes and it takes organization. That's another thing that Krishna is doing. So all these symptoms are there of how Krishna is present within the creation. And one of the greatest mysteries of all is something called entropy. So some of the, because entropy means high order. It's something is low entropy. Yeah, low entropy. Actually, I can't remember what it was now. It's low entropy or high entropy. If something's in high entropy and something's in low entropy, for instance, if you go into your room, your room is totally disordered. You have someone who's very untidy. There's a lot of entropy there. It's like lots of mess everywhere. So in the cell, you have something called low entropy but high energy. Because when you combine chemicals together, you get this massive explosion. All this energy is flowing out everywhere. So they have the idea, oh, chemicals just combine and then life takes place. Well, actually, no, because within the cell there is very low entropy, in other words, very high organization, but lots of energy flowing in a very controlled way. This is another mystery to them. So there's so many mysteries in the scientific world, so they can never explain the origins of the cell, because Krishna has created such a cell. So what's required is lower entropy, which means higher order, and higher energy, which means energy controlled and used properly. So this is all going on very easily. And even one other point about the creation of Krishna is that you'll find codes everywhere. This is one of the symptoms. When we look at the DNA coding and so on and so forth, it's obvious that there's information there, and how it's being utilized by Krishna to create certain bodies. So when we look at our computer codes, we see 111000. It creates information. That information is passed on. So this is another thing. Let's have a look now. Yeah, even within one's own body, there's something like 3 billion DNA pairs, which is a lot. So, now the fact that Lord Balaram, I hope you're following all this, the fact that Lord Balaram enters into the universe, that causes the universe to expand, Prabhupada says, because Prabhupada was a scientist himself. He says, the elements of cosmic creation are all matter and have no potency to increase in volume unless entered into by the Lord in his planetary portion. This means that matter does not increase or decrease unless it is spiritually touched. Matter is a product of spirit and increases only by the touch of spirit. The entire cosmic manifestation has not assumed its gigantic form by itself, as wrongly calculated by less intelligent persons. As long as spirit is within matter, matter can increase as needed. That's what we were saying before. How, according to your subtle desires, the quantum realm, you could say, of many possibilities, is waiting to connect with you and give you your facility. So this is all going on by Krishna's arrangements. So as long as spirit is within matter, matter cannot increase as needed. But without spirit, matter stops increasing. So as soon as the soul leaves the body, matter deteriorates. This is called death. For example, as long as there is spiritual consciousness within the material body, the living entity, the body increases in size, but when a dead body, it stops increasing. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 gives importance to spiritual consciousness, not the body. The entire cosmic body increases by that same process. So this is the body, the material universe is increasing, because Krishna, Mahavishnu, Sankarshan, Parjuna, Aniruddha have entered into this, and the jiva, because of his desires, is causing the movement. As soon as time element enters into the pradhan, activity starts. So we are causing the activity of all these movements of the universe, and Krishna is facilitating. This is what Prabhupada is saying. One should not, however, foolishly think that the individual infinitesimal soul is the cause of the gigantic universal form. This universal form is called the Virat Rup because the Supreme Lord is within it in his planetary systems. What is this? And of course, from our point of view, when we're studying these matters, we have four types of evidence: Vedic knowledge, direct experience, traditional wisdom, and logical induction. All these methods can be employed to understand the insubstantial situation within this material world. It's very insubstantial. So by Vedic knowledge telling these things, by direct experience we can see, actually, yes, it's true, things are deteriorating right before our very eyes. Everything that we want will be taken away from us. It's all there. We can understand that very. We don't need any even Vedic knowledge to tell us that. It's there. Traditional wisdom, our grandfathers and so on and so forth, they tell us the same thing. So it is not so difficult in one sense. But the wonderful thing about Vedic knowledge is it will tell us what's beyond that physical plane. So this is something we have to hear from. Because different stages of knowledge are developing as we go along in our development of consciousness. The animals, they're just conscious of food. Then further, the living entities can develop little knowledge. That's called, Manomaya? Living symptoms is Manomaya. So one living entity, he's just aware of food. If you see a simple animal, you give it some food. It's all this interest in food. Other creatures may have a more evolved type of consciousness. And further to that, the human being, he can become aware of thinking, feeling, willing. His consciousness expands even further. And then he comes to the Vigyan platform. He becomes fully realized, and he enters into the Brahman platform. He realizes a spiritual soul. And further to the spiritual soul, he enters into the Anandamaya platform, the platform of Radha Krishna Nitya Lila in Vraj, or in the Mathura, or Dwarka, or in the Vaikuntha planets. This is all being stated in the scriptures. So actually we like objective science. We like because these guys, like I say, from the intelligent design movement, Professor James Torr and so on and so forth, Michael Behe, Stephen Meyer, and a few others, they look at the world And instead of subjectifying and speculating on what they see, they simply rely on objective observations. So this is real science. When you look at something in an objective way, you analyze it and you accept it for what it is, and you try to understand it not through subjectivity, through speculation, as is the Darwinian theory. When they do that, then science is masquerading as being knowledgeable, but actually it's speculation. So we also think science should be very careful about what how it uses its abilities. Probably, for instance, you could say that the gain-of-function research that's been going on recently in the world. You know about this gain-of-function research? Yeah? Do you not know what the scientists are up to? Who knows? You know? You should know. Gain-of-function research. There's a big debate going on. It means that there's certain scientists in certain laboratories that are taking viruses and changing the DNA structure of a virus or adding two viruses together. And according to some, at least, I don't know, but there's a lot of talk about it, of what went on in the laboratory in Wuhan, because it just so happens that, funnily enough, just 4 miles down the road from where that coronavirus took place, there was a laboratory funded by the United States of America studying gain-of-function research. I mean, as Bhakti to... You know, it doesn't take much to think, well, there's a possibility that that could have been the reason. So this gain-of-function research was banned in America for some time, but then I think under President Obama it started again. And this is very dangerous when you start messing around with science, particularly with viruses. As you can see, the coronavirus is a very dangerous virus. It's got certain spikes in it, which wouldn't normally be there, according to some, but these things are open to debate. I'm not suggesting here for sure, but certainly what I'm suggesting is that there needs to be more research on it. And when the American government come together and discuss these things, some of the time these things are behind closed doors and they retract statements, and they don't give you all the information. So this is what the kind of thing the demoniac scientists might do. So science is good when it functions in the right way, but in Brahminical culture you have super intelligent sattvic men. They guide society. This is what's required. And in that case, we would be very careful to be sure that no danger would come about from meddling with viruses, because they're very dangerous. Producing some genetically modified crop is one thing, but when you start fiddling with viruses, it might end up causing more problems. So this is something very concerning. Prabhupada was very concerned about scientists. He would quite often criticize them. PhDs, he would sometimes say they are the plow department. Instead of saying PhD, he'd say plow department. Actually, Balaram, he holds a plow. And Lord Balaram himself, he's cultivating us. Because he's expanded, because he wants to expand the service of Krishna, therefore he's manifesting all the jivas, and with his plow, perhaps he's cultivating us, trying to bring us to our senses and to bring us to Krishna's lotus feet, allowing us to fully serve Krishna in ways that will please Krishna. So this is what Krishna consciousness is all about, to expand the love and the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna says, I am your friend and I am your well-wisher. Bhaktaram yagatapusham savaloka maheshwaram sridhasivada. I am your only friend, I am your well-wisher. If you know someone, if you love someone, you know them very well. So Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee, love me. Know, get to know me. So Krishna wants to get to know us. You could say, well, doesn't he already know us? And we had this discussion once in a class at Bhaktivedanta Mala, because I posed that Krishna, does he know everything? And because he does, Prabhupada says in one purport, in one sense he indicates he does, in other senses he doesn't. Because I've coined this phrase, robotic ras. Now, who wants robotic ras? No one wants robotic ras. When you love someone, it's spontaneous love in your... So Krishna wants our love. Give yourself to Krishna. Love him. Know him. Please him. This is what Balaram does. He and all the residents of Raj, this is what they do. Because they know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has wonderful qualities. So let's love him. Let's learn to love him. Let's please him. So there's no such thing as robotic rats. So when you decide to surrender to Krishna, when you decide, then that is your free will. Does Krishna know when you're going to decide? Prabhupada indicates the high court judge knows the destination of the criminal because within the material energy, he knows what's going on because it's his energy through Shankarsham, Pajuna, Aniruddha. He knows all that. But in the midst of all that, you have this little free will, and that is what Krishna's looking for. Give that love to me. Just spontaneously love me. The Christians have this idea, God loves you. Well, he does. He's waiting for us to reciprocate with us. He wants to share his bliss and ecstasy. This is what Krishna is like. This is who is God. He is someone he loves. He's into rasa. He's into, and he has this playground. One might think, well, why? Because of rasa, because of love, and that's what everyone, the jiva, is. Well, that's what he's looking to do. He's looking for loving experiences. When you see, you could be walking on the high street and someone catches your eye. You don't even know that person. Yet somehow there's a little, isn't it? You think it's true, isn't it? There's some kind of exchange going on with everyone that you see. Now, that exchange is meant for Krishna. But when you exchange that with Krishna, because Krishna is so beautiful, so wonderful, so full of qualities, so blissful, this is Jiva Goswami explains in his Puttisandarbha, bliss and love, priti, bliss. When you love, you're in bliss. Isn't it? When there's perverted reflections of that, of course, in the material world. Because someone has a girlfriend, they're so happy. Or someone has a child for the first time, they're so happy. And isn't it? It's like that. You're so happy, so blue, oh, so wonderful. But this real bliss is only there in the spiritual world. Because here, no. You cannot have it here. You can only have little samplings of it here, little indications of it here. Why is the material world set up like this? Because it's a reflection. It's the reflection of Krishna's realm. So that in Krishna's realm there is relationships, and so this is going on. This is all Krishna's arrangements. So the fact that Krishna wants us to become his pure devotee is discussed in all places in the Shastra. And one particular verse by Narottam Das Thakur, Śrīla Bhakata Charanenu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Kalamula. This serving a devotee's dust, taking the dust of the lotus feet of a sadhu is very good. But better than that is to serve him. Better to serve him, why? Because he's in ecstasy. He's serving Radha Krishna in Nitya Lila. That's his platform. You serve him and you will also understand that platform. That is the very Latikala Mula. It is the seed and plant a devotion which grows out. So let me just, we've got to finish probably soon, but let me just read one purport by Prabhupada, which is very encouraging for all of us in whatever situation we're in, congregation members or whoever. One who is not able to practice the regular principles of bhakti yoga under the guidance of a spiritual master can still be drawn to this perfectional stage of working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work has been already been explained in the 55th verse of the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, he can try to help such work. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization, and labor. Just as in business, one requires a place to stay, some capital, and some labor, and some organization to expand. So the same is required for the service of Krishna. The only difference is that in materialism, one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, and that is spiritual activity. If one has sufficient money, he can help build a temple or an office to propagate Krishna consciousness, or he can help in publications. There are so many fields of activities, and one should be interested in all such activities. If one cannot sacrifice the results of his activities, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one rise to the highest state of love of God, whereupon one becomes perfect. So Jiva Srupoy Krishna Nitya Das Krishna Tatasya Shakti Veda Veda Vakash. And a satsangya tyage Vaishnava chara sti sangi eku asadu Krishna or Bhakta Ada. Give up the association of non devotees, take the association of devotees, learn how to do service to them, and our life becomes perfect. And this is the real prayoshita. Was it prayoshita? When you try to counteract sinful activities. In the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, the beginning of that Bhagavatam is discussed, this prayoshita. You try to, if you perform many, many sinful activities, you can counteract them by doing some piety. So Parikshit Maharaj was feeling great sympathy to the suffering conditions of the jivas. He was saying, how can we stop this suffering? So then it was discussed by Sukadeva. He said, well, you just do this prayochita program, you can do some nice pious activities and that will counteract your sinful activities. When actually Parikshit Maharaj, he rejected that, and Sukadeva Goswami was testing him. He said, yes, it's correct to say that the only way you can give up sinful activities is to burn off the root of the desire. And that is only done through the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga automatically kills the root of desire of material enjoyment. This is the proper parashita program. Everything else fails. And in the Jiva Goswami discusses this point in his sandhavas, that ultimately even a slight contact, as Prabhupada says here, even a slight contact of devotional service, even if you come to devotion because you quite like to serve, but you're still materially conditioned, even a slight contact of that type of service burns up the root of desire. So this is pretty amazing. Ramananda Roy was having a conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know the conversation, and it got to the point where he was speaking about the potency of pure devotional service in the spiritual world. So Balaram, he's serving in all capacities, he expands himself in 10 different forms to serve Krishna. And even some people say that Balaram has become an Anga Manjari. Well, that should be understood in some context. Just like Radha Krishna Panar Rikrodi Naldini Shakti Katmanava Pibu Vi Pira Dahamba Go Gatoto. Radha Krishna become one. They were one, they became two for pleasure pastimes. So in the case of Balaram and Ananga Manjari, Krishna has expanded himself to become Srimati Radharani's sister, and in that Leela, she served Krishna very wonderfully. So it's not that Balaram necessarily has a predominant interest in Madhurya Ras like that, although there are some pastimes where he dances with some gopis, because in his younger days there was a festival taking place, the color festival, what's that called? When they spray colors? Holi festival was going on in Vrindavan. Balaram had to go. When this festival took place, certain girls, young gopis like Balaram, he was not particularly interested. And when he went back to Vrindavan, Krishna said to him, because at first Uddhava went to, he went to give a message to the residents of Vrindavan, Uddhava. He failed to some extent. He did something. In fact, Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he learned more about the Rasika situation of the residents of Raj, and he was being taught a lesson by Krishna in that sense, because Uddhava has some gyan, he has tinged with some gyan, so Krishna wanted to show him what the residents of Vrindavan are like, what their state of love is. So he tried to convince the residents of Raj that Krishna would come back and return to Raj, because when Krishna left Vrindavan, it was very distressing for the gopis, and it was like a great fire of separation, like the heat of a hot summer. And Srila Gaugavinda Swami tells the story of, in the heat of a hot summer, the lakes dry up, but the turtles, what do? They bury themselves in the mud. So these words of Krishna, I will return, to the gopis, that was the only thing that kept them alive, because otherwise they would want to give up their lives. So they were like, this I will return was like the turtles. They were in this mud state. Another example is given is when there's a fire in your house. In Vedic life, you keep animals. So you have to let the animals out if there's a fire. So there's a bolt on the door. So you have to undo the bolt, let the animals out. So this, the gopis wanted their life to get out. They could no longer tolerate their condition of separation from Krishna. But the bolt is Krishna's words, I will return. Anyway, Balaram came back to Vrindavan because he also was sent by Krishna. The Rath Yatra festival is something like that. And he gave the message of love. And he was more successful in his message to the gopis. They became more convinced. As he was speaking to the gopis in Krishna actually began to turn blackish in color, because Balaram was so absorbed in Krishna, he also began to turn. So the gopis were a little satisfied with his explanations. And he said, don't worry, I will get my brother. He will return. He will return to Vrindavan. So they became a little convinced. But while they were there, the gopis said, listen, Balaram, there's some of these girls that you the previously liked you in this holy festival, you should do the honorable thing and marry them. So Balaam was always very reluctant to because his ras is more Shakya ras, Dasya ras. So he was not inclined. I mean, do you hear about the Balaam's wives? What are their names? Do you hear about them in the Shastra? So it's not such an important aspect of his life. He is more in the mood of Shakya ras, Dasya ras, like that. And Vatsalya ras, because that is there. So he married these girls, and there was no big marriage ceremony because he said, well, look, Krishna's not here. How can I marry these girls without my brother? He's not here. So they did a Gandhara marriage, a simple marriage and a ceremony, and that was it, finished. And then he returned back to Mathura to see Krishna. So that was there. That was his aspect. Now, the Vatsalya comes in Balaram because Mother Yashoda, when Krishna was, Balaram were first born, they were young children, they had so much love for Krishna, and they wanted to keep that love for themselves. But as Krishna and Balaram grew up, they, like any child, they start to develop friendships, and they want to go out and play with their friends. And time came, I think it's Gopashtami, where they had to take care of the cows, and they were destined to do that. Mother Yashoda was very reluctant to let Krishna do that because she had so much love for Krishna. But by the activities of the cowherd boys, she could understand, oh, these boys love my son so much. So she began to be very happy with the idea that Krishna would be able to exchange love with them. So at that time, it was arranged by Sridham, Radharani's brother. Now, actually, Balaram's very strong. He'll take care of us. So at that time, Balaram was empowered by Mother Yashoda in Vatsalya Ras, and he would take the responsibility of taking care of Krishna when they went out into the forest. Because you know the story, whenever Krishna went out in the morning for play, Mother Yashoda always wanted to come along. And they had to convince her every morning, it's okay, don't worry. We will be fine. There's no stones on the path because the deer sweep the path. You know, with their tails, they sweep the path, so there's no stones. The trees ooze honey. There's no hot sunshine because the trees are so wonderfully shading. And there is beautiful water from the Govardhan. So everything will be fine. And the caves are wonderful. And Maru Mangala said, actually, these caves and this place is far better than your palace anyway. And the fruits are much better as well. So Madhu Mangala was glorifying the fruits of Vrindavan. So Mother Yashoda, every morning she is convinced, okay, yes, you go. But then Krishna, he always thinks of his mother, and his mother always thinks of him. This is called love. Anyway, I think, what time is it now? What time is this class supposed to finish? Or does it go on and on and on and on? I'm sure people on the internet are already getting up, making tea and getting ready for their feasts. But so anyway, I'll leave that there because I'm sure other devotees might want to say something of... I'll just run through here quickly. Because some of the things are... there is one very important aspect which is discussed by acharyas. Why was it that Balaram became friendly with Duryodhana, and why did he not take part in the Kurukshetra war, he became very loyal to Duryodhana, it appeared. Because it was Balaram that taught Duryodhana how to club fight. So naturally he developed a relationship with him, and he was very happy to teach him. And when there was going to be some conflict between Bhishma Dev and Duryodhana, Balaram thought, best not to do that. You're both very powerful. You'll do harm to yourself. But they were, they had such, for some reason, they had such strong urges to destroy each other in some way. These were all the arrangements of Krishna. So sometimes in life, Balaram played the example, it's not good to take sides. We can learn that lesson. It's not good to take sides always. In political affairs, there's always something. So Balaram remained neutral. That's not a bad. That's not a bad way of dealing. And also, Srila Vidyananda Maharaj, in his, because he's writing books on the Mahabharata, he actually wonders sometimes. He's contemplating these things. Why sometimes in Vedic culture, the divine people seem to be quite friendly with the demoniac. So he's contemplating these things, and he was saying things like good cop, bad cop. You know, Balaram's playing, Krishna is coming in to put everything right, but there's some sympathy. We can see this right now in the current situation in Afghanistan. You might see the American government being very heavily criticized because there's some appeasement going on. Like in Northern Ireland, there's some appeasement. So Krishna is the well-wisher of the devotees and the demons. He is not partial. Krishna is not partial. He loves the demons, he loves the devotees, but one who renders service to him, he takes special care of him. But Krishna gives facility to all. And so Balaram was playing this kind of part. So he remained neutral, and he went on a pilgrimage while this battle of Kurukshetra took place. But Krishna wanted to establish the Yudhisthira on the throne, because that is Vedic culture. We must have. Ultimately, Krishna lets things go, and then okay, that's enough now. This is like Anantashesh. Anantashesh is like that. He lets things go, and then suddenly he becomes angry, and he destroys the whole creation. It's like that. This is described in the Bhagavatam, how Anantashesh is like that. The creation goes on and on, and after a while, over and over again and again, we try to convince these jivas to do the right thing, and then they continue on being, ignoring good advice, then, okay, finish. He destroys the whole creation and starts all again. So Balaram, he came in the womb of Devaki first. Why did he come in the womb of Devaki? Because he was preparing the bed for Krishna, because Krishna would come as the eighth child. So Balaram was the seventh child, then there was some change, and he was moved into Rohini's womb. But he came there because he was preparing Krishna's, because that's what Balaram does. He's thinking of all the comforts of Krishna. So Krishna, the real lesson, according to our acharyas, of Balaram Tattva is basically Balaram will give us the strength to overcome the material energy, and this is the essence of spiritual life. So the guru is the external representative as well, because your guru has that strength and he can help you overcome that strength. This is the Tattva. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raga Vijanija Bhakti Yoga Shikshastam Eka Purushavayana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarari Kripa Buddhi Yastam Aham Papajante. Mahaprabhu himself comes as guru, teaching. He becomes a teacher. That's what I was saying earlier also the guru becomes the Chaita Guru, he's the Chaita Guru in your heart. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that your Chaita Guru, you should listen to your Chaita Guru. Listen to your heart. That's when Krishna says, know me, that means when you love someone, you reveal your mind to someone. In love, there's no secrets. Raja 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 Goyam Pavitam Midam Uttamam. That verse is there, secret or secrets. In love, you reveal your mind openly. So the proper devotee who's very, very introspective, he opens his heart entirely to Krishna. Everything is opened up entirely. He opens his heart fully and explains to Krishna his condition. And then Krishna, in that honesty, he will take you out of the material energy. But if there's some duplicity, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, in his book, don't drink donkey urine, he says. You know what that is? Stop drinking donkey urine. And also stop spitting in spittoons all the time. You know what these two things are? Donkey urine is deceit. Deceit and fault finding. If you don't open your heart, Krishna, you'll be full of deceit because you'll be in pretense about your condition. And then in your pretense, you will find fault with everything else. And then this whole idea, in your deceit, you will be... Because there's an example of one devotee, Bilva Mangala Thakur. Whenever I think of sex life, I spit at the thought of it. So... You may be pretending to spit every 5 minutes, like spit. Why are you spitting so much? Have you not given up this? It's like that. So many spittoons are there. No, you don't need that many. So in your deceit, you're doing like that. So we have to understand what real devotional life is, and this Mahaprabhu has come, and apitam chilin chulak kurunaya vatsanogu sampadam. Anuchuladasam, the highest rasa is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Balo empowers us, he gives us spiritual strength. He can help us become detached from this material energy. And we can then remain in service to Krishna 24 hours a day, serving the immaculate spiritual senses of the beautiful Lord, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says. And this is... You'll notice 24 hours a day, this is this rasa is there in Madhurya rasa, because the gopis are with Krishna practically all the time. Krishna hardly sleeps, a few hours here and there, till late at night dancing, and then in the morning, maybe a little sleep, and then Vrindadevi has to wake them up to get them back to the... This is all discussed. So hardly any sleeping is going on because they're fully engaged in this, in satisfying the senses of Krishna. So all these gurus, Raghunath Das, Jiva Goswami, Gopala Goswami, you know Jiva Goswami's Sandavas and Sanatana Goswami's Bhakta Bhagavatamrita. These are all taken from the notes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So such a great acharya. So if you look at the Sandavas of Jiva Goswami, they're all, it's like a commentary on the Bhagavatam. It is a study of the Bhagavatam. So these Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they must be, you must consider these as your shiksha gurus. Don't neglect to study the works of Rupa Goswami or the other Goswamis. This is very important for our understanding, because if we don't, we will not be able to advance properly in our spiritual life. So yes. So it's very difficult to overcome the material energy. I'm going to finish up here saying even the Christians, they have the idea. You know that song, We Shall Overcome? We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. And then they say, oh, deep in my heart I believe we shall overcome someday. It's very deep, the Christian's philosophy. It's true. We will overcome someday, but they have a... if they're sincere, Krishna will definitely help them overcome. So that's some amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet thou art, who save a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. You could say the same thing. It's a wonderful prayer. But our process is there, how to overcome. And that is, first associate with devotees, develop faith, take initiation, get connected with them for diksha or shiksha. Take initiation whenever you can. It might take 11 years, as in Prabhupada's case, or it might be quick, doesn't matter. But anyway, initiation is a process of the heart. You can be initiated all you like, but if you're not following, you're not really initiated. I know some devotees, some of my associates, they're not initiated, but they're so dedicated, because they are connected in shiksha to Prabhupada and the acharyas. But they should, someday if they want, they can take by, it's like a, you know, it's a ceremony in one sense. But the real initiation is the state of heart. Anyway, in such connection, one does bhajan. And then from bhajan, anatta nivritti, then ruchi, some taste, and then some bhava and prema. This is our process. So the Christians can say, we shall overcome, here we can. But we can only overcome by a proper process. We cannot speculate on this process. So this is that. And then the devotional service increases more and more and more under their association. Even Balaram, it appears during the wraths of Krishna taking the cows, he became bewildered. How is it that Krishna became bewildered? Wasn't it? Remember? Krishna, when Brahma took the cows, Krishna manifested the same form and acted exactly as all the cowherds, boys, and the calves. He acted in exactly the same way. But Balaram noticed there was an increase in love, and he was bewildered. I cannot understand how this is going on. So even Balaram, he became momentarily bewildered, but then Krishna revealed everything to him. And Prabhupada actually, you know, he installed Krishna Balaram, did his in Vrindavan, and because Prabhupada wanted to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are non-different than Krishna and Balaram, because this day we can access Lord Balaram's mercy through the teachings of Lord Balaram, and that is there in the song Goranga Bolite Habi Habi Bulukashari Hari Hari Bolite Nayana Bibi Mami Nira. And then Ada Kabi Nitai Chan Karuna Koibi Samsara Vachana Mora Kabi Tucha Habi. When will I get the mercy of Balaram? And Prabhupada in his purport, what is the symptom of one who has the mercy of Lord Balaram? He gives up all interest in the material world. This is the real mercy of Balaram. If you have the mercy of Balaram, you'll give up all interest in the material world. Anyway, I think that's... thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak, and I hope that, you know, something was... understood from, because I was simply trying to hear or explain what I have heard, because what do I know? I am simply trying to repeat what I have heard in my own terms. The last thing I will say, that the Rath Yatra is a very interesting aspect, and the acharyas give different interpretations of that Rath Yatra, and one of the great acharyas, he gives a wonderful explanation which is spoken of by Srila Gaugamanda Swami, that there came a time when Krishna was to return to Vrindavan, and he was, I think he was in Mathura, and he was chanting, he began chanting, I think the gopis' names, or, and he fell down in a great swoon, and it was time to bring him back to his senses, and Balaram came, and Narad Muni was there, and everyone was there. And they said, no, before Krishna, if you wake him up, he'll immediately go to Vraj. So don't wake him. We have to make arrangements. He cannot just turn. The people of Vraj must know he's coming. We must prepare for his entrance into Vraj. So it was suggested that Balaram go to prepare the residence. But Balaram said, no, I've already been there. I already told them that I will bring Krishna, but I couldn't do so. I went to my brother. I told him, come back to Vraj. But still Krishna would not come. For some reason or another, he got delayed. So then they had the idea that Subhadra, the sister, she would go to Vraj and she would convince Mother Yashoda and all the residents that Krishna indeed is coming to Vraj. So this is Rath Yatra. First, Balaram, he goes to guard his sister. His sister goes to Vraj. She convinces the residents, because she's a female. Female have softer and Mother Yashoda and everyone became convinced, yes, Krishna is actually coming. And then Balaram came. And then actually Krishna was awoken, and he actually went back to Vraj, according to Acharyas, which is a very nice... So this is one aspect of the Rath festival, because there's the Kurukshetra aspect, and then there's this other aspect which our Acharyas speak about. Before Krishna came, Radharani was practically dying, because, I mean, how long can you be in separation? And at that time, even Chandravali came and said, look, I have to admit that there's no greater lover of Krishna than you. So everything was revealed, everything was set up, and then Krishna returned to Vraj. Although the Acharyas sometimes say Krishna never left Vraj, that's on another platform. Jai Srila Prabhupada Jagadguru Sivanta Voki Jai Gaula Premanandi Sri Balaram Ki Sri Balaram Ki Jai Sri Balaram. Hare Krishna.
Any questions? No.
Talked about what?
What's your top for?
Oh, thank you. Is it working? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. A lot to digest and meditate on.
Yes.
I'll be busy for the day. Thank you so much. You were talking about karma synchronicity. I thought it was really interesting how our desires are based off previous desires, and so our lives are based off our previous lives in that sense.
Synchronicity, moving.
Yeah. So I was wondering how much independence do we really have? Because it's just like our lives are based off our previous lives, and our desires form our new desires. So we're constantly in this loop of trapped, entangled within our own desires and our own karma. So we say we have independence, but what independence is that? Is it? And when it comes to like bhakti, it's all based on causeless mercy.
That's a very good point, Prabhu. I presume everyone heard that point, that it is a fact that we are totally entangled and so wrapped up, so deeply engrossed in matter and our minds over so many lives. This is one devotee I was discussing yesterday. He said, because someone had the idea like eternal, being eternally conditioned. I mean, God, that's a lot of conditioning. But if you look at, there's 8,400,000 different species of life, And there's so much rasa in the material world. A little butterfly flying in the meadow, taking all them nectar from the flowers. That's very nice, rasa. Or fish in the sea. Although floating in the sky with the bird. There's so many. And each of them individually experiencing something of rasa in the material world. So there's unlimited rasa in the material world. Absolutely unlimited. Go down to the bottom of the ocean, into the depths of the ocean, the most deepest part, and they sent cameras down recently, and they found millions of white crabs living there, getting some rasa from the bottom of the ocean. You know, so how to get out of this? It's true what you say. Is a very important point. And like I think you hinted, the only way out is to be pulled out by someone who's experiencing Vishaya Venivartati Niharashade, someone who has that higher taste, someone who's experiencing Rasa for Krishna, someone who's bringing something much higher, he will pull us out. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of man surrender to me. I mean, you know, this is the point, you know. Some appear to be a little fried, some are going, you know, After a while of churning in the material, it seems that we might. I mean, it's logical, isn't it? You just get fed up with this after a while. So you get this opportunity, but it's given by Krishna because this is his causeless mercy. Because these sadhus wander all over the universe, always trying to give an insertion of knowledge, and in our heart the guru of Krishna is there. He's always trying to convince us, but ultimately it does boil down to our independence. We must come to our own conclusion. Yeah, I'm sick of trying to be the enjoyer, I'm sick of trying to be the Vishaya. Let me become a humble servant of Krishna. Let me give my life to Krishna. Let me give him pleasure. And let there be no provisional interest, no provincial interest rather, because this is the residents of Gopis, they don't care about their own interests. They give up their, their so-called religion and their reputation. Everything given to Krishna, so such a sadhu, only by his association, someone in that, he can pull us out. And that association is always available somewhere because Krishna is making these arrangements. It's always available somewhere. Someone somewhere will have such realizations. Sometimes the Ritvik philosophy, it limits one. There's some aspects of the Ritvik philosophy you could say, yes, it's true, we do have access to Prabhupada. And it's absolutely a fact. But don't limit yourself, past or present. We come from a great family of acharyas, going back to Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. We have access to all these acharyas. And if we read their books, read their bhajan, become absorbed in their bhajan, pray to them, they will help us, along with Srila Prabhupada, and along with our current acharyas. There's many of our current acharyas who have very good understanding. But you're right in what you say. We are hopelessly entangled in the material world and we need to be lifted out of this by getting the association of a sadhu who is in that consciousness. Now, what security do we have? Bhajahari Prabhu asked Prabhupada. Once in London, he saw someone on a bench, sleeping on a bench, and he said, Prabhupada, how is this person going to be helped? We don't feel we have any good piety. We don't feel we have the qualifications to hear, so how? And Prabhupada turned around on his cane. We are their good fortune, he said. So such. And we, as Hare Krishna devotees, we can reflect the great fortune of Prabhupada by bringing people in touch with Prabhupada via his books and his classes and his society, then we create, and Prabhupada did say, I have created a society so you can do Sukriti, because there's different types of Sukriti, Gyan Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti, or Mukhi Sukriti. I have given this society to give you that Sukriti that will... So we have a lot of faith in the holy name ourselves, because we regularly go out and chant all our team, because I have a lot of faith that people who hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, dancing, oh, what is this? They hear the holy name, that is the beginning of their life. They take some prasad, they get a leaflet. This is called Sukriti. I have a lot of faith in that. Now I know it's not the only solution, as Srila Ridhananda Maharaj would say. We can't have our society based on Sukriti. We're going to do some Sukriti. No, we have to intelligently plan our society. We need classes, structure, we need all this kind of stuff as well. But the Sukriti is where it's at, and that's what we're giving. Now, the fact that you come to Krishna consciousness, or any one of us, actually is probably because of our previous life. I don't know about you, but... you know what I mean? I think that when you heard about Krishna, when I say don't about you, I mean that when you heard about Krishna, you probably, wow, that makes sense, didn't it? Did you have the experience? When you heard Bhagavad Gita, that makes sense. This is true. Somehow or other, it became clear to us because of previous Sukriti. And therefore, no one who joins the Hare Krishna movement or has any seriousness, you don't come here because of some chance. It's because of your previous practice and your, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, your continuing on taking up this process. So yeah, for those that have no Sukriti in that way, we give it. For those that are coming to this Krishna consciousness movement and taking it seriously, it's because of previous Sukriti. That cannot be denied. But then we must cultivate it further and further and help other people.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. All glories to the Prabhupada.